Okay. Hey, Rebel Fiasco?
Yeah.
Can I ask you, before you put the recording on, can I ask you a question?
Okay, so I've stopped. Okay. So we're holding here in the paragraph in the part dealing about Nisim and so on, the different approaches to how we see Nisim and so on. I think Vihine, no, did we do Vihine Rishna Shaloyo Sichro? Or not? I think we're. Vine Rishon.
Yeah, sure, that's a good spot.
Vine Harishon Shaloyo Zuchro Kim Kadecha Toshab Lapikor is the first shita that I really doesn't deserve mention, except that there's a din of Kadel Hoshab Lapikoris. Who am Mispalsev Shayma? There are those that say that everything is predestined, and whether the clock was turned that way to be predestined, or that's what it is. Everything clicks exactly the way it needs to click, no changes. Since everything is predetermined, then kein ein shinui ba'olam. There cannot be anything that we call a change. So it's and the wing of a fly cannot become any longer than the genes or the surroundings dictate. Because being that everything is predetermined by a divine determination, so a nes would mean that nature has been upended. That's an impossibility. There can't be any miracles. So according to this shita, really miracles are an impossibility because nature and the laws of nature and the way things are running are an absolute. So he said the first point, this is Aristotle, the first point that he makes, that everything in this world comes from an infinite amount of time. In other words, the world has always been in existence, is something that needs to be responded to at some point. And therefore, it's a world that sees nature and the natural as the overarching framework within which everything else is possible. And the truth is like this: if you think about it, it's something which if you think about the implication of it, it's basically telling me that nature is everything and anything else needs to fit into that framework. And this is sort of a question of, just one moment, Ken. This is sort of a really, really a question. When we talk about a scientist, every reason, every approach of Seichel needs to ask himself, what are my axioms? What is the large, what's the set within which I'm dealing? So a scientist, by saying nature and the fundamental laws of nature are the supreme set, That's not science. That's the framework for science. That's an assumption. It's a given. a person may cautiously say, since I have not personally experienced anything else, I guess I'm going to use that as my outer framework. That's fine. But the statement that that has to be the outer framework is a statement that really, really it has no proof to it. Aristotle said, well, the word beginning of the world is meaningless. The world has always existed. The fundamental laws of nature are reality in a way that they could not possibly be different. The same way he said, water cannot become blood. Everything in the world has a process, and just like chemistry tells you, you know, you can manufacture A from B from C, but you can't manufacture A from Z, and therefore it's meaningless. Vihine says, Mevi raya mimin shel minoi. His proof is really his proof is a type of proof that begs the question. Yes, the laws within nature are such that everything has a given path. What it can become and where it can come from. That's when you. So if I were to tell you that it was a natural, it was a natural occurrence that water became blood, then I would say that's absurd. It's not natural, and there's nothing in nature that allows for that. But we're not talking about natural. So how are we, by saying that we don't have any of those experiences, for it to happen, it can't happen. It's really. The proof is coming from someplace else. Let's take a very simple...
Rabbi Alfiansky,
yeah.
He's addressing right now the philosophers, like Greek philosophers, or the Rabbag.
Well, right now, this is Aristotle, who basically laid down, in a certain sense, something that's a very scientific type of approach, where he laid out the basic framework for everything that exists. As being part of the nature of natural process, and he does allow for some theology, but it's all within nature. And he, you know, in those days, philosophy and theology and science were one discipline. Therefore he gave a place for morality and sort of a super intellect, which is part and parcel of the world. But not a creator, and certainly no interaction with the world as such. So this is his shita. That's what he's talking about. And he says the proof that he brings from the natural order to the unnatural order is absolutely wrong. And then he says, and then he adds something to morale. V'hevli yesh b'neem ki ateva poel bizman. So he says over here that, and this is a yesod that he's going to speak about later when he speaks about chipozim and yetzias mitzrayim. He says the following. He says, the hallmark of natural process is the word process. Time is really the measure of process. Things that are instant don't take time, and the word process doesn't exist. Let's take an example just so that. Kind of a different field, but something which will just be able to use it as a muscle. Whenever you are, we have two ways of dealing with people in legally. There's legal process, which requires a process. Person he's bound by certain laws. There is a system and a process how to deal with infringement on the law, and so on and so forth. There's also the executive power of clemency, pardons, executive pardons. That is not a process. It's not part of a legal system. For instance, I can tell the court, how come Jack, who stole $1,000, got 1 month of jail, and Jim, who stole $10,000, didn't get any jail time, got half a jail time? That's a good question. And one or the other wasn't processed appropriately, and I can use that in the legal presentation. I can't come to a president who has the executive power of clemency and say, how come you pardoned Ruvain and not Shimon? And how come there was no process? And the answer is, it's a very different type of mahalach. It's an executive order, and I can make the decision to I feel he's guilty, I feel he's innocent, that's that. I'm not accountable, and I can't bring any riots. I can't come to a president and say, well, in a court, I can bring 10 cases that are similar and demand a similar verdict. I can't do that because it's a very different process. And he says, more than anything else, what the hallmark of the natural process is the word process. It's step by step. It's within the context of Zman, and that's part of the Gash mystical world. And that's why by a nace it happens instantly, because it's not a process. Shupol b'rtzono levad, it works through rotzon. U'b'rtzono nishav v'chom v'atzulat v'rega echad, and rotzon Hashem is that it takes place 1 second. The ains of pol tivi shupol b'zman v'tzorech al achonas achayma. Avad var Hashem shvaynasu kirkol tzvam v'zeh pol aniftol shupol b'achonas komaklo. So the hallmark of things that are nivdal, as he calls them, are that they are not a process. They do not require that A naturally become B, and they don't take any time. Well, the fikach al tishal, so you can't ask kilikol chayim muchal kavatzur of etzarach achana, that not everything can become something else, it can become anything else. Veichem muchana mayan kavatzur zav, how could water be blood? In ain't a kushel amevit. The reason why it does normally need some sort of ability to be the other thing, that's all on the activistic world. And of course, this person used nature as the means of denying mofsim. He says, I agree with him 100%. Ki mitzad ha-teva nifos ha-nei mitzoyim, that in the world of nature there are no miracles. Ha-mitzad pulas ha-nivdol, kol ha-nifos ha-mitzoyim. Ki olam ha-tachno olam ha-teva, yesh ha-izdapus ba-olam ha-nivdol. He says, our world, which is teva, has a connection with that world which is nivdol. U-mishom ha-nisim boim, and this is from where nisim come, sha-nisim yischachu me-sha-olam ha-zeish lo-chivu ha-nivdol. Well, the fikach hanisim lahoyer can be Israel, and that's why nisim only exists in Klai Israel, which is poyer oit. V'chol zeh mipnei sheshem dveikus b'nivdolim. Well, the fikach hoyer nimtzoyim b'Yisrael nisim mefloz. V'hine zeh sheyoyima ke'ech yitzur sheyadova mikol dova, shazanim afer teva, avoslo afer teva anything. So that takes care of that point. I want to just mention something I'd seen a fascinating essay. There was a Jewish grammarian named Mordechai Breuer, who passed away a few years ago. There were two actually first cousins, Mordechai Breuer, both I think grandchildren of Shlomo Hirsch. One was a historian, who I guess was we label Haredi, and the other one was a grammarian, who I guess would be labeled Mizrahi, modern Orthodox. He was a great, a really big grammarian. His system was used to do the Moshe Rav Kook Tanakh, which he felt was superior to the current Tanakh. He was a very sharp, outspoken grammarian. He wrote about biblical criticism, and he said they are absolutely 100% right. The style of the various books don't match up. He said, but what does that prove? He said, if I take every single person, just like he has a unique set of fingerprints, he has a unique style. And you can't, even if you attempt to write something in a different style, there'll be many, many, many subconscious things that you can't possibly change that will come through. So every person we can pigeonhole and say, this book was written by Yankel because he tends to use 90% of the time prepositions and 10% of the time the full name, pronouns, and most of the time full names, whereas this book is 40 to 60. But why does that become a factor about HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's quote-unquote style? I mean, he's creating it. So he may have decided that Vayikra needs one style from a second style. Where is that? He said, I don't need to deal with trying to disprove the points of difference in the styles. But the question is, so what does that tell me? It tells me that it was not one human that wrote them all. That's absolutely correct. It had to be God. How do we, like, where did you pick up the laws of style of God? You know, and so he said, you know, Aristotle, once he lays down the axiom, there's nothing but the natural order and process, then everything else is a problem. V'chein, Masha Omar ki kashoy oyle mechuyi meite yisparach, im hoya negosa shlal seda teva, ha'idov ze shinu min aseda lefir etzoyne bulvat. He said, v'anu im shivadak lefir etzoyne yisparach, ואפילו דייטו, תשומה מן הקדוס, הכל איתו הייתי עשינו בחיוב. אבל השבת הזה אינו, מכל מקום, אף לפי דייטו הוא תוס. כי מי שאומר, כניסם שבו נשא ספק, אין להם כל סדר מוסקל, אין עדו וכך כלל. אבל כמו שיש לו עולם הטבע סדר מסודר, נורג על פי טבע, כך יש ניסים סדר גם כן. So here he says a point that is fundamental to how he's going to understand many of the aspects of Nisim, and that's as follows. He says everything. He says there's an implication that the things need to come into some sort of order. In other words, when I say that something is a whim, something is ad hoc, something was a temporary necessity, I'm sort of pointing at a chisaron. I'm sort of pointing at something which is a shortcoming. It's like whenever Microsoft offers a patch for the system, the word patch means that they messed it up, and you need to patch it. It's not the sign of something good. So his problem is, if Nisim are these kind of shooting from the hip from God, doesn't that tell me that God's work is lacking? I mean, we don't like to think of things in that way. So he says, no. He says, the world of Nisim is a world that has structure, order, Seder as well. It's not like God took a look and said, oh my gosh, the Jews got to get out of there. What are we going to do? I guess we're just going to have to split open the sea. That's not the way it is at all. It's coming from a certain Seder and a certain Nahalach. Kenisim ba'olam. The Chassidim, I think, say that the Seder night is called Seder because even though it's the night of the miracles, but there is Seder in the miracles. Ki anisim ba'olam. B'mashesh lom kishur v'chibur v'sa'achtas ma'olam anivdol. The Nisim in this world are not random occurrences in the world. They are times when the Olam HaNivdol supersedes that. V'yesh a Seder Meduyak. It has a clear Mahalach. Ke'en Adobako Rak B'Seder Mesuda. U'mipnei Zeh Lo Yischatshu HaNisim Rak B'Zman HaZman HaVein HaTmidim. And that's why Nisim are Shayach only at certain times. There are certain times when that's Mesugah for Nes. And he'll speak later about the Chodesh HaRishon is when we had Yitzias Mitzrayim, because Chodesh HaRishon is the Chodesh for these Inyan. Because Hashem Yisparach Nasa Hashem Yisparach Mon Yisrael Atom HaKal Shem Yisrael 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 It's not the pshat that the world operated in a fluky way. Just like Klal Yisrael, just like there's a Tevedika order, so too Klal Yisrael, it is appropriate for Klal Yisrael who have some shaykhist or nivdol to be shaykh to them. Shalom Nisim Song, Hine Yesh Le Nisim Seder Mesurim Hashem Yisparach Ve'ein Dovah Min HaNisim Yikore Shinu B'Nivroi. In other words, I can't call it a change. It's a change for us from where it's coming from. But it's not something that was not there before, popped in, like a pop-up popped in this world and disappeared. It's part of a system. That's why that philosopher didn't understand at all. Because if he would have understood this point, that the world itself, the natural world, has one seder. The world of the flaws has also a seder. And it's not a shinui in the fact that he preferred one side of the other. Ki kamoish Hashem yisparach sidra l'tevoi l'fi atzira v'muskel, kach sidra al-dova bulti tevi l'fi atzira v'muskel. So just like in Teva, there is a certain clear structure for it, so to in bulti Teva. Void is by inizeh. V'anisim Hashem bulti tevi v'ein zeh shinui klal, shek Hashem shor Hashem yisham dvorm b'ol l'fi atteva, he said, this world contains two elements, Teva and Bilti Teva. Let's give a marshal for this as well, so that we have an understanding of something. If a person has a computer as a teacher, let's say they've succeeded in making the robots a little bit better, and now we have a robot teacher. So, the robot teacher is kind of very mechanical, and it teaches everything, boom, 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 exactly the fi a seder, and you know, really, really, you know, by the book, so to speak, or by the program.
I had some professors like that in college.
Yeah? Let's say...
Usually the math professors.
Yeah? So you're lucky to become a math professor. Now... let's say you have a human professor or human teacher. Let's say he's normally he teaches and very, very, you know, it's very, he is structured and he does sort of follow script, but you expect him occasionally to show his human side. And you don't say, well, there was a change in his personality. You say, what you want to say is, today he let down the teacher persona and introduce his human being persona, his persona, it's not as if somebody's who let's say his mind is going or something like that and he's erratic. That's not erratic. We may not know why and when he decides to do this or that, but we wouldn't call that erratic. And so on. Why this pain is it? Okay, but listen. V'imkein advarim shem tivim hashem bilti tivim inyan echad. V'asha lo yovin inu yad bilti tivim yeymek is echad yishay tzayir oylam. The person does not understand the unnatural, thinks that this is something that is not part of Seder Olam, it's not part of the universe, but that's because his picture of the universe is unnaturally narrow. V'in adav akach klal, rak kemoy shesh leteva po la tivim, just like the natural has a natural structure, the unnatural has its own structure. Okay, so there was Aristotle, whose view was a totally deterministic, natural, mechanical view of the world, and expected, and therefore the limit of the world is the natural order of things. Anything that doesn't fit into it cannot be, and certainly there's also implication in some way that this might be limiting God for some reason, might be a casting aspersion if things are wrong. And his point of it was, we're dealing with the big picture universe includes a small circle of the natural order of things, a larger circle of a nivdal order of things, and an occasional meeting of the worlds. Benachset Vrein. Now he's going back to the Jewish philosophers that he disagrees with. Hinesh Ktas Michachme Amenu, Kmar Ralbag Bidvarov. There are some like Ralbag. Hischel Lachkal Niflos. He said there are some miracles that are fundamental changes, and there are some miracles that are incidental changes. Changing a stick into a snake or water into blood, that's a fundamental exchange. And there are some things that it's incidental to something else. For instance, hefach hayad shel Moshe ve'yosol yis mitzora, that Moshe's hand becomes mitzora. These are not things that are fundamental changes. It's not as if it's unheard of that someone had leprosy or someone's hand atrophied, but rather it's the timing, it's the coincidence. Sometimes he just told on the spot, listen, I want you to perform. And so on. You'll find that all miracles had a Navi involved. You see that Moshe Rabbeinu asked, Kadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu to go and to make miracles so they'll believe in him. He told him, you know, your hand and your blood. If he didn't need to be a prophet to make those miracles, what exactly would be the sign over here that he's a prophet?
So he says
another is so that they need to have miracles happen in order for a miracle to happen. Then he says, in other words, it's a sefer of the Ralbag called Milchamas Hashem, where he deals with Yom Vemuna and so on. He says, also, Bechenoi Chebo, Kol Nisim L'Toiva, all Nisim have a good purpose, whether they're, you know, to create a Muna or to do good. He lists all the Nisim, can skim through this. Va'al Yikshel Chodva Korach, okay, it's a boy, you can ask, what about Korach? She'ezel Achnim and Yisrael, as Yisrael Tachsatoiv, the Nisim with Korach were there to bring Kol Yisrael back to Tshuva.
What about the idea? Yeah. I thought there was some difference in the Nisim by Korach.
Yeah.
That when the earth opens up, that was really a Bria Chadasha in a different way than other Nisim.
I don't know if it means it. The pasuk obviously calls it Bria Chadasha. On the other hand, Chazal attributed it to Bein Hashmashes, to Friday Bein Hashmashes, and also Bilam's Chamor is then. The pasuk does use the word Bria, which I think is unusual, and things are spoken about, but I guess in this scheme of things, he doesn't see it as being any different than the other things. That's what I'm guessing. He doesn't seem to make anything, so it's his only problem, the Ralbag. This is all the Ralbag here.
Uh-huh.
His only problem here is
since it wasn't for good, could that be a nes or not? I don't know. The truth is, he's going through all of these points, but his arguments and disagreements are really on the last point. I'm not sure why he's recapping his entire treatise on Nisim. It's the next point, actually, that the morale has a problem with. V'achazeh hisalachar oid. And then, now we get to the point that he's bothered by. Mihu pol anisim. Who is the one that makes the nes? What is the mechanism, or where do we attribute nisim as coming from? Ki efshar shiyu mebilti pol ha-shefel ha-neflos. Somebody has to make those nisim. Va-pol ha-neflos hu yeda nimtzos esirim nirshem. And whoever makes those nisim has really, really got to understand everything in nature. He's got to have a handle on everything. It can come from one of three places. Rotzoleima. Oy min Hashem isbach, either from Hashem. Oy min ha-seichel ha-poel. Or from seichel ha-poel. Or from the Navi, or from the Navi. Now, the who Avi Rayashim, who I is Baruch HaPol, I know we're going to say HaPol, Yosef Nivchar. Okay, let's hold a minute. There's a concept here that the Ralbag introduces that actually is a Greek, it's a Greek term, and that is, it's called Seichel HaPol. Seichel HaPoel means the active intellect. It was a concept that is rooted in Aristotelian logic. I guess, it's concepts that we don't sort of treat as real today, so we don't really quite have it. But basically, it was as follows. If you look around at the world, everything in the world has a structure to it, has a formula to it. We definitely see chachma in the world. But there's chachma that's in your math books, and that chachma can't create anything. The nicest formula and the most potent formula is not going to create anything, but there is a level, we'll call the active intellect as a force that is the sum total of chachma and is active. It imposes the tzura on everything that exists. That was a concept that they sort of formulated. The Jewish philosophers that were into this stuff adopted it, and they sort of saw it as a type of malach, the Seichel HaPoel. That they agreed with the concept of Seichel HaPoel, as they agreed with everything else. It was a concept that was very in, and they went along with these things. What they did was they called it a sort of the interface between God and man. What Kabbalists would call malchus, maybe. It was sort of that's what it was seen as. So the Seichel HaPoel is the sum total of nature in a very of nature in an active way. Aristotle saw that as being God, so to speak, and the Jewish philosophers saw it as like what we call metatron, malchus. You know, they tried to give it equivalencies in Jewish terminology.
But it's not such a right. I mean, the hashkafa makes sense. It's saying between two things that are really separate, you need a third thing which can act as an interface.
Yeah, but
it.
Correct.
That's the thing that's poel and brings the chachma down and connects it to something.
But the problem. Okay, so the problem really is where you get the problem is.
if somebody, if let's say you're very, you have a friend of yours that became like this very important guy, and you ask him for favors and says, sure, no problem, and he never does it, and at some point the secretary gets blamed for it. So you need to ask yourself, is the secretary have sort of a discretionary power, either either by giving her that power or taking it, and therefore if she chooses she can really mess up what he wants to do, or is she just a fig leaf to cover up his own his decisions? In other words, what's the point in this case, the Mekubalim speak about a structure for the world, that's fine, but he's talking over here about his thread of thought is going to be Hashem doing a nes would tell me that God is erratic and Seichel HaPoel is excellent. Lords of nature never change. God sometimes changes his mind and has whims and so on and so forth. So let's say that the Seichel HaPoel is the entity that's doing that. So what does that mean? Is this cutting God out of the picture? Then we have some problems, and that's why it's like when people come along and they say, well, let me show you all the makis, how they actually are natural events that look at that, so on and so forth. So to cut to the chase, one says, oh, listen, how these makis came to being, I don't know, but could this have been a natural occurrence, or is there something about this that it's not possible a natural occurrence? The Torah listed as nisim, and the Torah is trying to prove things. So either or, either the Torah is lying in one way or another way. What's the point of putting? And he says the reason why it's so important to him whether it's a Seichel HaPoel or not, is because he has a problem if it's God. It would come out that Seichel HaPoel is more perfect than God, but that's not right. That's where he has his problems over here.
So the same. But the Greek version of Seichel HaPoel, they attributed power to that, and that is the arbiter of how the Seichel is Poel? I mean, is that what?
Yes, this is, it's this entity, all I can say about the greatest, the big circle that encompasses the universe, I can call it a Seichel. Because everything in this world comes with laws and symmetry and structure, and it actively brought things into the world. So it was called Seichel HaPoel. I don't know the Greek translation of it, but that's the way that's what it's translated. And that creates a problem for us, because then we're not sure quite as to what is. So is this replacing in some ways God? Can it conflict with God? I mean, are we dealing with a duality to some degree? When we speak of Malachim, we're very careful to describe it as pure conduits. So if I decide I'm making pasta and I'm pushing it through some tubes so that it comes out Lakshan-shaped, true, the tube is imposing its tzura on it, but no, I'm imposing the tzura on it by using the tube. The tube is a tool in my hand, and therefore the reason why you have this long lakshan, because I made long lakshan, and I decided to do it, I knew how to do it, I used the tool that I used, it was that. So when we talk about malachim and everything about them, then we're talking about things that are tools, and they don't have any significance. If our problem with Hashem and miracles is, isn't he changing something? Would he change his mind and say, oh, it was the naughty, naughty Seichel HaPoel that's been doing it? Then we have a good problem. And if the Seichel HaPoel is just like, if I say, why'd you kill this guy? And he said, I didn't kill, the gun killed, that's silly. That's the issue that he's going to have with it. In other words, if there's a problem, it's not addressing it, and if it's addressing something, it's not the problem. So, okay, we'll hold it here. I'll close the recorder now. So we're holding
by his response, which is on the lengthy side.